welcome to the Medicine Box, where we get you all things pharma and healthcare. The domestic pharma market, or the IPM, has grown from $17 billion in FY17 to $21 billion in FY21. Specifically, in FY21, the growth in the domestic industry, when adjusted for COVID-19 drugs, slowed to around 1.3%, mainly due to a decline in acute therapies, that is antibiotics, anti-infectives, etc., as more people were indoors, hence less people caught infections. Now, with mobility largely normalizing, experts say that growth drivers are in place. Besides a recovery in acute therapies, overall increase in usage of medicines due to better diagnostics, as well as compliance and growth in Tier 2, Tier 3 cities and rural markets are expected to be key long-term growth drivers. To understand more about the domestic pharma market, its growth prospects, we have with us Nikhil Chopra, the CEO of JB Chemicals, a company that generates 49% of revenue from the domestic market and has outperformed the industry, growing 14% in FY21 from the domestic market and has outperformed the industry, growing 14% in FY21 in the domestic market versus the industry growth of 4%. JB Chemicals is the manufacturer of commonly used drugs such as Rantac, Metrogyl and Nicardia in the Indian market. Hi Nikhil, welcome to the Medicine Box.
Hello, Ekta. Good to be on this platform and more than happy to talk more about what is happening in the domestic market.
Okay, well, let's start with that, because we broadly know that the domestic market is around $20 billion in size. But just tell us, what exactly does it comprise of? How much is acute therapy? How much is chronic therapy? And how are both these segments growing?
So if you look at, if you diagnose what is happening in the Indian pharma market, chronic category of business, which is a combination of cardiology, metabolics, neuroscience, they contribute close to around 30%, and they have been growing at a healthy pace of double digit. And this is continue to happen, because overall, if you look at the burden of disease in our country and the suffering which is there in terms of what comes in the offices of healthcare professionals, but there are a good number of patients who are undiagnosed in these ailments. So chronic business is going to continue and improve its overall contribution in the IPM. That is what I have seen over last one decade. Equally, when you look at the acute part, which is close to around 60%, which is a combination of anti-infectives, gastrointestinal medications, look at vitamin categories, all those products, which is more seasonal dependent. And what we saw in last 18 months with the pandemic of COVID, we had seen a slowdown, but with now more and more patients coming and visiting doctors, with what is happening now in terms of the planned surgeries which happens in the hospitals, you are seeing in terms of upsurge of overall the uptake of the acute medications, maybe in the field of antibiotics or painkillers or PPIs. That is how the market has been behaving. We as a company have been rightly poised in terms of 45% of our business comes from chronic medication, where we are leaders in the world of hypertension market with our brands like Silacar, Nicardia, which are more to treat hypertensive patients. And equally, we have got good presence in the acute portfolio, which is with the combination of Rantac and Metrogyl.
Okay. So what is the market size, if you had to divide it between acute and chronic currently, of this $20 billion? Would it be 50-50? Would it be that chronic probably leads or acute leads as of now in terms of size?
60% plus is acute. Now, how do you, the way you define overall your anti-infectives, PPIs, painkiller, vitamin supplements, that is how it stands. And close to 35 to 40% is chronic. If you talk of cardiology, metabolics, neuropsychiatry, ophthalmology, particularly chronic therapies within ophthalmology like glaucoma, TB, all those put together.
Okay, so around $12 to $13 billion in terms of acute therapy size is what the Indian market would be right now?
Yes.
Now, what has been the average growth rate for both these segments? Is there possibility that chronic will exceed in terms of growth rate simply because of the lifestyles as well as compliance increasing?
See, what has happened, Ekta, if you look at the way last 24 months the market has behaved, what has significantly happened that the IPM growth, if you keep the entire COVID revenues, COVID-supported medications revenue coming in the chronic part of the business, the consumer awareness has gone up, particularly in the field of respiratory, in the field of cardiometabolics, where patients are now looking at being better adhere to the medications. So chronic part of the business is only going to gain market share. And if there are not onslaughts of the acute season coming in, chronic will continue to grow and beat the overall IPM market in the coming time. That is how I see. Because overall, if you look at the companies and their attention in terms of what are they doing when their medical reps are going and visiting the healthcare professionals, the major discussion is only happening in terms of how can we at least get more and more patients suffering from chronic diseases diagnosed. That is the biggest, if I have to talk of big thing, which should happen in our country in the coming time.
Okay.
One more point which I would like to talk about, Ekta, is in terms of the awareness of the consumer, which has come in last couple of years in terms of being well in the world of wellness, how the consumer can take care of themselves by enhancing their immunity and being not subject to the viral infection. So that is more and more also happening, and that is what we see. When you do more dissection of the way brands have been, big brands in the world of immunity care have been behaving in Indian pharma market.
Okay, so that's just a point I wanted to touch upon. Now, pre-COVID, what were the growth rates? And post-COVID, what were the growth rates? Because there is this OTC market, which you're referring to as well, which is basically preventive care. And that seems to have changed structurally. People are more aware of their own health. So hence, chronic diseases are probably more in focus, and hence chronic drugs. So what is the growth rate for the IPM pre-COVID and now post-COVID?
So growth rate for IPM, if you look at the steady state of affair, the growth of IPM ranges from 8 to 12%. And if you look at classic example of October as a month, Indian pharma market, which was a normal month for overall the medications to be consumed, it was 10% growth. So your growth will range between 8 to 12%. That is what I see in the coming time. And the big volume which is coming, which is being added to a $21 billion market, and 12% growth for also Indian pharma market at a size of 21 billion is a good growth, if you look at. And the growth which is coming is the bigger brands. That is what we have seen in our organization, and I see some of the big brands in IPM are the pillar in terms of the way the growth has been fueled in, because those big brands are only getting bigger. So what is it telling you? More and more patients, probably in the world of chronic ailments are getting diagnosed. Better adherence is coming into the quality of life. At the end of the day, being from the healthcare industry, what do you aim at in terms of how do you get into the world of well-being of the patient? So that is what is more happening as I see from the healthcare side.
Okay. Now, one of the key things that I actually wanted to touch upon was the fact that, generally big pharma companies have branded drugs which they really push in the Indian market, and that's where you generate sales from. But now we've seen a huge push towards discounted drugs coming through. For example, there's a retail-based pharmacy, which is Gujarat-based Medcart, which just raised funds in terms of fresh capital. So there is this move towards genericization of drugs, or generic drugs being available much more easily, trade generics also. Do you think that that's a big threat?
See, if I have to look at, and we talk of 1.3 billion population in the country, and with the generic trade generic medications, in terms of if they are available in the look and corner of the country, in the remote part of a village in West Bengal, that tells you that those medicines have reached to the patient. That is the first thing that we have to keep in mind in terms of how basic essential medications in the world of cough and cold, pain, basic antibiotics, all those are available. At least patients are able to at least get those medications over the counter when they go with the help of the prescription or tomorrow with the word of mouth, the medication which they have been using is giving them the relief. So trade generics, according to me, the quality medications which the companies produce in the world of trade generics, and equally proper education of the pharmacist who is dispensing this medicine is key in the world of trade generics. That is what we are trying to do, and that is what from my previous organization experience, where that organization has played a pivotal role in terms of how the access to medicines, affordable access to medicine for the Indian population is key. Obviously, patients go and visit healthcare professionals. Insurance is also playing a key role when patients are getting hospitalized. But for 70% of the population, which is in rural or extra-urban part of the country, they can't afford to go to healthcare professionals for basic treatment. So if they are able to get those quality medicines by the owners that the pharmaceutical company should be taking in terms of educating the pharmacist.
But Mr. Chopra, I want to ask that why would I purchase a Rantac or a Metrogyl when I have the generic version, which is lower, which is discounted, and probably has the same efficacy and quality? Because that's the key point, the difference in quality and efficacy. Is there a difference in quality and efficacy between genericized drugs and branded drugs in the Indian market? And why should I buy the branded drug?
So there are two answers to these questions. One is, I can talk about my company in terms of what I believe in terms of whether we produce a medicine which is in for the world of generic or for the world of prescription or the world of export. Because the manufacturing setup that we have got in southern part of Gujarat is world-class, where we manufacture every medicine which I'm talking about. And equally, the relationship that we enjoy with some of the big multinational pharmas for whom we work as contract manufacturing. So all the same standards are maintained. So I can talk about what we are trying to do as a company. So that is point number one. And second, over a period of time, the trust which the consumer develops on a brand is what is the inclination to buy the medicine that they want to consume.
Okay. All right. But is there a difference in quality?
See, I can't give a ready-made answer that is there a difference of quality. It all depends upon the checks and the balances. And at the end of the day, I think the healthcare industry, particularly in India, I think we should appreciate Ekta in terms of the work that all the companies came together and what we have tried to do in the difficult times of COVID. So I don't think for a penny gain, we'll be pound selfish. That is, we don't want to do. So that is what I expect from all big pharmas, and that is what, at least with 2.5 decades of my experience working in pharmaceutical industry, and I have only worked in two organizations, I think there has been never a difference that I can vouch about in terms of what when we see that what medicines the patients are consuming, same medicines. If I have to consume, probably that is how I believe in terms of what we offer to the patients.
Okay, but what are the risks for the Indian domestic market? Because, you know, there have been changes in the FDC or the fixed dose combination which came out. Then we have the NLEM. Then we have rising input costs, and you can't hike prices in drugs beyond 10%, though you need 20%, though you need 15% in some. How do you wade through all of these challenges, and is it worth wading through as well? As in, would you rather look at your deploy your resources to other markets?
See, Indian pharmaceutical, if I have to look at $21 billion market growing at a healthy pace of 12% is a huge opportunity. Let us look at the volumes. Let us look at in terms of what as the top companies in Indian pharma market, I am more talking about combination of Indian and multinational companies in terms of the work that they should do in terms of getting more and more patients getting diagnosed. So from an input cost, which obviously has come as a big headwind, which at some given time will subside down. NLEM as a concept, which we have to comply. And from a perspective of opportunity, if you look at, I see a very good future in terms of fixed dose combination. What you are talking about is absolutely right, where 3,000-4,000 crore market get eroded, because at the end of the day, we don't want any empirical therapy and any combinations which are illogical should be given approval from the FDAs and from the DCGIs. But the right combinations, right pricing, and looking at how more and more patients can get diagnosed and get quality medicines from the houses of Indian pharmaceutical companies is what I see going ahead, what is going to happen.
Okay.
That is where we see. And we have got the best of the hospitals, whether we talk of Apollos, Max, Fortis, Narayan Hrudayalaya. So class treatment, which is available. I was hearing a couple of interviews in terms of the cost of some of the surgeries, which are best in class, where medical tourism at one given time was so big in northern part of the country. So that is what you see in terms of how India as a country is poised.
Okay. But how would you rank, Mr. Chopra, how would you rank India over other markets in terms of growth? Where would you prioritize your money? Because you're present in South Africa, you're present in rest of the world markets, US, you've increased your ranking in South Africa as well. So where would you rank India in terms of a growth market, as well as maybe for your OTC segment, which is your lozenges segment?
So first of all, for us, 60 to 70% of time, money, energy, effort will go for India. That is what I firmly believe in. And also we have gained our ranks in October 2020 when I joined. We were 32nd ranked company. Today we are 27th ranked company. And we are growing at in October 2021, as IMS reports, we have been growing at 27% as compared to market growth of 10%. And this is courtesy all our big brands, which I spoke earlier about Silacar, Nicardia, Rentec, Metrogil. They are only gaining ranks, they are only gaining market share, and they continue to deliver market beating performance. Equally, some of the newer initiatives that we have taken in the company in last 1 year, getting into some new therapeutic segments, that is in the world of pediatrics, in the world of respiratory, we have got into some new launches that we have done in this categories. The aspiration that we have kept for ourselves in terms of next 3 to 5 years, with the combination of organic buildup that we have got, new initiatives that we are trying to put in the company, and equally not shying away, if there is any opportunity available with 1,000 crore cash on books, we will look at buying some brands or buying some mid-sized company, which will only help us to double our market share. Our market share today stands 0.7%. We want to double our market share. We want to be in top 20. We want to improve our contribution of chronic business within our India business, because that gives us better EBITDA margin. And the entire concept going ahead is, how do we invest to grow? So that is what we want to do, Ekta, as a company, and serve more and more number of patients, not only in India, but globally. Coming to your point of lozenges, we are the fifth largest lozenges manufacturer across the globe, which is a combination of herbal, medicated, and non-medicated lozenges. The relationship that we enjoy with some of the big multinational players across the globe, which makes us stand very differently in the world, in the world of lozenges, what we have been doing globally. Now, we are looking at some given time, 3 to 6 months from here, you will start seeing some of the offerings coming in India market also, particularly in the world of cough and cold, wellness, immunity, motion sickness, sleep disorders. These are some new proof of concept that we are trying to develop, both for our international as well as for domestic market.
Okay. I heard this 1,000 crores of cash. I think you have around 750 crores of cash. When are you expecting to probably build it up to when it comes to a corpus of 1,000 crores? And narrow it down for us in terms of inorganic initiatives.
Yeah. So that's it. So there are some assets which we are evaluating. And here, conceptually, you don't have choices. But the way we are poised as a company, because our presence is into 3-4 categories of business, which I spoke earlier, in cardiology, gastroenterology, pediatrics, respiratory. So for us, getting into some novel therapeutic area, if there is an opportunity in terms of inorganic, makes us perfectly as an opportunity in terms of, there's a zero overlap as compared to any other big players. If they want to get into inorganic asset acquisition, let me give an example in the world of dermatology. There will be a good overlap for some of the big players, but for us, there is a zero overlap. So I have a very good starting point. So either way, in terms of whether I look at the opportunity of buying something which is there in the world of where we are already present, that would be good for us. But equally, we will not be shying away of getting into a new therapeutic segment where I have a good starting point.
Okay, just a quick one-word answer. When can we probably see an acquisition narrowed down by the company? Maybe in this fiscal, maybe in the next fiscal?
See, what I can talk about at this moment of time, there are some assets which we are evaluating.
Okay.
And at the right time, if there is a happy seller, and we as a buyer are also in terms of looking at if we can make this asset more EBITDA accretive, we'll be more than happy to share with you and your teams.
Okay, all right. Maybe we can expect some kind of acquisition, at least for the domestic market. It could be a company, it could be brands. But Mr. Chopra, it's been an absolute pleasure to hear your views on the Indian pharma market. Thank you very much for joining in on the Medicine Box. We'll definitely get you back on to discuss more nuanced details of the domestic pharma market, such as acute therapies, chronic therapies, as well as the OTC market. Thank you very much for joining in.
Thank you. Thank you, Ekta. My pleasure. Thank you.